Hello, mech fans around the world, and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where your two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts, Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris, watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 36, and we'll be talking about episode 36 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, Big Zam's Last Stand, in which we say, oh, goodbye to a true warrior. Moe agare, and take it away. Welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast with the stuff and the shit. I'm Fuzzy, you know that already.
Gave up there.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that's the vibe I'm feeling, I guess.
Yeah, after 35 episodes, you're allowed to have one of them where you're like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
You can phone this one in.
I feel like you've been pretty consistent through here. You know where you are by now. You probably aren't here by accident. Yeah.
You're here by accident. Go back to episode 1 and start from there.
Yeah, or episode 25. That's a decent jump on. 25
is not a bad jump on point. Yeah. You're right.
We're good jump on points for us. We're good jump on points for Gundam. Wild how that works.
Yeah.
Speaking of, also, this is a really fucking weird episode.
This is a very bad jump on point.
Yeah.
Right here. I don't like this episode. I don't like the first half of this episode.
I'm kind of with you there, but also, I'm not going to lie. During the end of this episode, I paused and went and checked if this was a season finale?
Yeah.
But no, there's another episode the next week. Like, the next episode came on the next week, back in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
So, what the fuck? What happened?
Dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I guess we just gotta start this.
Yeah, there's really no way to kind of just beat around the bush.
Stick with us, some cool shit happens later.
This is really all over the place. I've been, ever since you messaged me, I was just leaving school when earlier today Chris messaged me as he was watching the episode,
yeah.
Which is something I always appreciate, so feel free to keep doing that, by the way. I also do that with all of my friends, if it's something I already loosely know about even if I haven't seen the episode yet, because, you know, it's been a while since the last time I've seen 0079, So I've been thinking for 2 hours how this relationship makes any fucking sense.
And it does not.
I can't. I cannot figure it out. Like, narratively, where this comes in or up or how.
This is ham-fisted and I don't like it. Who's the writer on this episode, Fuzzy?
Hold on.
Because I'm going to find this man, and if he still lives, because I understand this is a very old show. If he still lives,
a lot of these guys are old as dirt now. Yeah,
I mean, I'm not going to fight him because he's very old, but I'm going to.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to express my supreme and unending dissatisfaction with what they've done.
Yeah. So the script writer was Kenichi Matsuzaki, who, it has no hyperlink. I'm currently attempting to Google and see, what else this gentleman has,
He can eat my entire ass. Not rim meat. Physically eat my entire ass.
Eat the whole one. Alright.
Eat the whole thing. Both cheeks.
He hasn't done much. 17 episodes of the 1980 Astro Boy.
Here's the deal. Here's the problem I'm having. I bet you the scriptwriter didn't... He's not the showrunner, right? So he probably didn't make this decision?
He also did a few other episodes in this show. He did episodes 2, 8, 12, 17, 18, 22, 26, 32, 35, 36, and then 38 and 41.
All right, well, 38 and 41 are going to blow.
I mean, 26 was one of the really good ones.
He's lost all credit. Again, I know this isn't him. I know it. Okay, well, we've got to do it. We've just got to do it.
I mean, realistically, half of the Tominos already know what we're talking about, but, you know.
True. I think I'm the only one here who does not know what's up.
What's funny also is, like, some people who listen to this now have also, like, gotten into Gundam and then marathoned it and then listened to our show. I know for a fact that has happened now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, every day I kind of feel like the "and those who aren't fans yet" part of that saying is less and less true. And I'm exclusively referring to you when I say that. Exclusively.
So, before we actually get into it,
motherfucker.
I sat here and watched... Well, no, it's about the show. I sat here and watched the intro again. Because normally I fucking immediately space out. Because I've seen it 36 fucking times. More than that, because some episodes I had to watch more than once.
Right.
So I normally immediately just, like, go into standby mode during the theme song.
Just kind of reboot for a second.
And we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating, because they don't ever shorten it. This is the longest fucking intro.
Well,
and they're not giving us information. They're just showing us characters repeatedly.
It's the fact that it's also, like, cheats a bit, where the previously on is not included within the intro, so, like, in Japan, all intros are 90 seconds, right? You always get this 90-second music video. I don't know where that rule came in, but, like, it seems to be a rule. And apparently it goes back to then. So, you can reliably just skip 90 seconds into the show. But then you get the previously on and get fucking
another 90 seconds.
Sometimes, especially in the earlier episodes, you got another 90 second intro. Cheating, I say. Yeah. Cheating.
So
last time
Solomon happened.
Yeah, last time we started the whole Solomon happening. Battle.
This is technically a part 2.
Yeah, this is technically a part 2. God, it is. It is a part 2, Jesus.
Yeah, it feels like a part 2 of 3.
Yeah.
Mainly because they don't answer any goddamn questions in this one.
Not a fucking one.
They just give us more.
I'm really excited about next episode, though.
I'm not. I'm crushed. So I've been talking about how I've slowly become a fan of Mobile Suit Gundam, surprising myself, because I thought I'd just make fun of... I figured I'd like later shows, but this one's grown on me. And these last few episodes have been fucking rough, man.
It's been, it's been real up and down. Very weird.
We'll see if I make it out of this. Also, I just in prep, I went and looked up DVDs, because I found affordable DVDs for Zeta. The main character has blue hair?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm excited. I'm excited for this fucking anime boy to show up.
Yeah, Camille has blue hair. And a girl's name. And that's the whole fucking plot of the show. I'm not kidding. I'm so excited, Chris. The whole show is predicated on one moment of bullying.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay.
Anyway,
get through this. Yes. Previously on lasers.
A lot of lasers. Also, the big laser is called the solar system, and I want to...
Yeah, there's already a thing called that.
Yeah, there's already a fucking thing called that. It's called the solar system, fucker. We live in it. I'm gonna beat the shit out of Federation High Command. I swear to God.
They've only named one thing right, and that's the gunman.
So that is the gunman, yeah. That is the one thing they got right. Anyway, it's Ohei's last stand. Big Sam's last stand.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut to the balls and the gunmen.
Gunmans. They're blasting the Zeon ships.
Yeah.
So are all the Zeon ships red and all the Fetty ships green?
No, because there's many Zeon ships that are... The way I tell is Zeon ships...
Have curves, right?
Curves with and spikes. Yeah. Curves with spikes means Zeon. Smoother curves or straight lines means Fetty.
And boxes. Yeah. Fetty. Okay. All right.
The only exception being the thickness that is the ball.
I see. I like them a lot. I like the GMs and the balls running around in this episode always make me happy.
Yeah.
Except they get fucking dunked on real hard constantly.
Yeah, we literally at one point walk through just a field of their corpses. Just a field of their smoldering, ashen
melted corpses.
Yeah. So these balls are having some war. Big surprise. Slegger is in a wounded G fighter. He pulls into White Base. And Mirai appears worried about this because she's watching.
She makes a face.
Yeah.
I had hope. I still had hope. Okay, let's do a hope tracker.
Uh-huh.
Chris's hope tracker at this point, 9 out of 10.
Uh-huh.
Hope is high.
Uh-huh.
Hope tracker is pretty high.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, Bright questions her and is like, something on your mind, Ensign. She goes, no, it's cool, I'm focused. He doesn't believe her.
He signals for her to go to private comms.
Yes, which he leads off with, I'm technically not supposed to do this because it's the middle of a battle. I'm just like, you middle managing fuck.
I'm gonna break the rules, but I want you to know it's a rule, and I want you to know I am breaking it for you.
Yeah. And then basically, without ever actually saying it, goes, I love you.
If you need to talk to me, I wish you would talk to me.
Yeah, I wish you would talk to me, but also, it's in the Japanese at least, he says, I think I know how you feel. Just know I'll be here waiting for you.
Yeah, he said, he didn't say I know how you feel, he says that I'll be waiting for you, which you imply he's making a romantic overture, right?
Like, mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, I'm sorry I didn't defend you when that asshole slapped you.
Yeah.
Let's have a chat at some point.
I don't know.
Work this out, this thing we're doing between you and I.
Yeah.
That's totally reciprocated and, you know, we're gonna date.
Yeah.
100%. Again, Chris's hope meter, 9 out of 10, because the ship is, you know, leaving dock here, kinda, in the middle of battle. It's very romantic for me. And it's like an emotional support thing, right? It's not just like, I'm gonna tip you over and smooch you.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we've been through a lot together, I got your back, alright? I didn't, even though, ignoring the fact that he did not have her back that one. Anyways, whatever, I'm never fucking forgiving him for that.
Yeah, no. But also, I'm just picking out all of these things you're saying, and I'd like to go to the get a load of this guy cam over here.
Okay, we're in the get a load of this guy cam.
And just do the thing, you know the one, and then come back to the normal camera that we have.
Am I being stupid? What's that?
No, because, hey, literally all of those things, specifically the swoop off feet.
Yep.
That's what's about to happen. So, Bright orders...
The sound you just heard was me dying.
Yes. Bright orders another pilot, who I later learn is named Vamos, and he literally only appears in this episode, and...
He probably dies.
Only things that come up in Google are him and yeah. Indian construction equipment.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know why I decided to Google that. It's just a really strange name. And he only appears in this episode. So they really... I don't know how they arrived at that name, and I'm just really curious what made them pick that.
I have no idea.
I don't either.
I think they just do. They just pick names that sound cool. Like, this guy's name is Slegger Law, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, you got me there. This dude,
Bright named... Noah. Like, Bright Noah is a way cooler fucking name than Bright Noah deserves.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So Bright orders Vamas to take over piloting the ship, which is a bold play, considering Mirai's such a good fucking pilot, but right? Okay.
Whatever. I guess you've got to be confident, and she's obviously distracted or whatever.
Yeah.
She immediately goes to check on Slegger.
Yeah. We cut down to the engineering bay, where Slegger is jumping out, taking off his helmet.
He's talking to a very angry-looking mechanic.
Yeah, the mechanic looks very angry, is very subservient and polite.
Yeah, I thought he was about to talk shit, and then he was immediately like, yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right, so that's just your face. Just your face, huh?
Yeah, just resting rage face all the time.
He looked so angry. I love him.
Yeah.
I want to give him a hug.
He looked really ready to throw hands. Just really immediately. I thought he was about to curse him out for ruining another G-armor or something. Like, goddamn.
Pass me that wrench. I'm going to beat you to death. What was that last part? Nothing. Don't worry about it.
So, Sleg gives the engine crew some orders on what fixes they need to do on the ship and all this shit. We also meet Howard, this very subservient yet angry-faced man. I personally love Howard.
He's also a very good name for him.
Yeah.
He looks like a very angry man. His name's Howard.
Really does. Like a stretched-out long version of the dad in The Incredibles boss. You know, the one with Stephen Colbert. Yeah.
Right.
Like that, but normal human proportions.
Mm.
Sans glasses. And then,
he might wear glasses. He's wearing a helmet right now.
He is wearing a helmet right now. Do they make prescription helmets?
I mean, maybe, maybe not. Maybe they just wear contact when they have to have their helmets on. Who knows?
No, wait. There's another guy with glasses on the bridge who just wears the glasses under the helmet.
Well, okay, fine.
anyway.
Mirai appears.
Yeah, Slyke fucks someone off, and then Mirai comes down.
Dude, have we talked about how dumb these fucking spacesuits look?
Mirai's... I don't know why those ones are so big, because apparently sometimes the skin-tight ones are airtight and other times they aren't. I don't understand spacesuit logic in this show.
they're definitely a court-martialable offense on the Zeon side.
Apparently.
Because, Jesus. This guy tells her that he's in the waiting room. Now, my hope rating's at like a 6, because she doesn't seem to be super angry.
Yeah.
Just kind of tense, and I'm like, I don't know, I don't understand what's happening. What's going on here? Why is she going to get her revenge? I hope she's going to hit him. I really hope she's going to hit him.
I was already very aware of, like... Well, I knew what was going to happen, but still at the same time, I was like, she's visibly worried. Why? Why, God, why? That doesn't make... Where did this come from?
So...
Mirai gets to the waiting room, where Slegger Law is presently sipping on a pouch shake and eating a burger. There's also vending machines in this waiting room.
I wonder if they use, like, special Fetty tokens.
Yeah, or if it's just, like, a press button and then they get the thing or what. Also, this begins the collection of Gundam characters eating burgers and looking like idiots while doing it. Slegger eats a burger throughout this whole scene, almost, and doesn't stop, really.
Yeah.
He really should put down the burger almost immediately. Doesn't.
No. Mariah's... This is hard to talk about. I'm so and like I was angry before, and now I'm just exhausted.
Yeah. So Mirai is happy to see Slig is okay.
Yeah.
Before he turns around and like really takes another look and notices she is really happy he's okay and tearing up. He puts two and two together because we may not like him, but I give credit where it's due.
No, I refuse. There's been nothing.
He gets it. Well, he understands. No, he understands the cue. No, he understands the cue. I understand. There's no reason, and I think he agrees. Frankly,
if this happened, I would be like, "Holy shit! Who died?
Yeah.
Who died, Mirai?
Yeah.
Why are you crying?
Yeah.
Tell me who died."
Yeah.
Because if I'm Slayer Law, the last thing I did to this woman was hit her.
Yeah.
For no fucking reason.
Yeah, I don't know where this fucking comes from. Where this weird Mirai crush come...
Oh, I hate it!
Yeah.
I hate it so much.
Like, I really racked my brain to find really any time they interact, even.
So he hits on Sayla first thing. He also hits on Mirai.
Yeah.
And then he basically talks to Bright and Amuro for a bunch of episodes. And then fucking hits Mirai.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, she's coming down here because she has big O feels for him.
Yeah.
Why? Fuzzy AF, what? Why?
I really don't know. I really don't know.
I was like, there's no way. Like, even at this point, when she starts tearing up, I'm like, okay, well, maybe she's just decided not to hit him and has come to terms with her own, like, morality and is like, let it go.
Yeah.
She's decided to be the bigger man and not beat the fuck out of Slayer Law.
With her huge, meaty arms.
Because in my head, I'm like, there's no way this is a crushy thing.
Yeah.
She has no reason to like him. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Ah, Mirai, come on. You deserve so much better. You deserve better than Bright, for fuck's sake.
Also very true. Unfortunately, we run out of characters at that point, but unless... Now, here's the weird cross-dimensional OTP here. They respect each other as pilots so much, Mirai plants a big smooch on that blonde bitch Char.
I would have less of a problem with that.
Yeah, because they interacted more often.
Also, like, the violence between them was never personal.
That too.
I don't get it either, man. I'm gonna go ahead and say right now, at the end of this episode, Slager fucking dies.
Yes.
And I guarantee you this is to give us some stakes for that. And it's
really
shitty,
is.
Lazy writing, and I fucking hate it.
It really is.
It's the worst choice they've made. This is worse than hitting her, because now he's hit her, and that made her fucking fall in love with him?
Yeah.
What the fuck? What the actual goddamn fuck, Tomino?
Yeah.
Piece of shit. I'm sorry, Tomino. I'm sorry. I love you. Jesus.
But also, what the fuck? What? This really... at least from my perspective, feels like it's one of those "it was another time" shits that we're looking at the artifact of.
Yeah.
Like, this feels like one of those.
Mm.
I hate it. And the times of yore sucked, and what the fuck?
This is terrible.
But this was also, like, the 80s. Well, this, late 70s, about to be 80s. What the fuck?
This is the worst. You fucked up.
Yeah.
And you made us hate him. And now he just, if you're gonna kill him, he just has to die. You can have him be a noble hero. You can have him save Amuro. You can have him sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
Save Whiteface. And that gives us some sort of redemption. But you can't make us like him. By getting the woman he hit to be like, oh, I liked that, I guess.
Yeah, because that's
super fucked
up. I mean,
if you want to get hit, that's fine. That's your kink. It's okay. But this was a non-consensual hit.
Yeah, that was not what that was. I should also add that this scene is really weirdly animated, and there are several noticeable fuck-ups. Like, the one where Slegger Law just has half his face much lower and at a different angle than the other half?
Yeah, he has a bad case of melty face for a bit.
Yeah.
This...
Which doesn't help this scene. We should probably finish describing what actually happens.
I don't wanna.
I know, but I'm going to, because that's what we do on the show.
I'm gonna sit here and sob.
I understand. So, the musical cue comes on, she starts tearing up, he's still eating the burger, he follows it up with a, don't be silly, this is a weird thing you're feeling, bye, and attempts to ollie out. She goes, wait, he stops, she says, hey, please don't die. He scratches his head, and...
Before I get to yeet you out of the airlock myself.
Yeah, unfortunately that is not where she finishes that. No. He scratches his head and says, and I quote, and I listened real close, and I don't know Japanese well enough to confirm or deny if my subtitles were 100% correct, but I quote, when you're young, things can be very chaotic. You shouldn't take your own feelings too seriously at the moment. He then gives the I'm not right for you speech and gives her his mom's ring off of his hand because Chekhov's gun.
Yeah, so he attempts to do the I'm not right for you thing for all of 2 goddamn seconds.
Yeah.
And then is like, here's my mother's ring.
Yeah, it's literally 2 sentences.
It's like by the time he hit the period on I'm not right for you, he has already lost. Yeah, and he is like, fuck it, I'm gonna try to make a move here.
Yeah. Which also doesn't make sense for Slegger either.
No, I hate this all.
Like,
this is terrible. This is terrible.
This is just a really, really bad arc.
This is so forced and unnecessary and detrimental. God damn it, Fuzzy.
The more I'm thinking about it, it's the weirdest ham-fisted drama arc in an already tense situation that I don't understand. And, like, there's other things that you could have played further into here that would have been an interesting dramatic arc for this moment. None of them really involve these two characters together. That I can think of. You could play more with, like, Fra and Hayato if you wanted to have this dramatic, vaguely romantic arc here. And you wouldn't even have to kill Hayato. You could just make it so his injuries really were pretty bad and he's out of action an episode.
Yeah.
Like,
just...
That took me 2 seconds to think of. Fridges no one's feelings.
And if you want it to be with a dirtbag, fucking Kai is right there.
Yeah.
And honestly is more charming than Slegger Law. Like,
because Kai is genuine and actually honorable.
Yeah.
Kai has a code of ethics he has 100% stuck to the whole time, and when he was confronted about it by the world at large in the narrative, he bent and changed his ethics and moved on, and has continued obeying those ethics. And I respect him for it, but he's still an asshole, and that's part of his ethics!
And Slegger is just Ace Pilot, the fucking... with a chin.
He's the fucking Crimson Chin, and that's it.
I don't like him.
He's a... the weird moments where they attempt to make him an interesting character are the things where he's, like, observant, or at least that's the thing I've noticed about him. Positive character trait that isn't, I can pilot good. And we don't have much evidence he pilot good! Sayla has a higher on-screen kill count!
The way to make Slager interesting is to let him just be a piece of shit. And let him tell Amuro, let him be the, like, so Bright took Amuro from being a teen to being a soldier. But Bright, like, as long as he's functioning, Bright doesn't have much to do with him.
Right.
So Slager can be the next person who can tell Amuro what it is, right?
Right.
Because Slager is, like, kind of Amuro, he's just a naturally gifted pilot. Well, they say he is. And he's older, and he's been in more fights, and he's a little more jaded, you know?
And admittedly, just add to this comparison, there's a lot of similarities between earlier Amuro and Slager. Earlier Amuro seemed very concerned with women and such things.
Yeah. Now he only has heart for Gundam.
Really, though.
I've realized we haven't had any character development from Amuro in a long time.
Well,
oh no, we have. I can't believe I forgot about Tim.
Yeah. There's all that Tim. There's all that Tim shit. But also, like, okay, no, that we'll save the Amuro essay for actually the end of this season. We can
okay.
Let's finish out his arc before we try to talk about his whole arc, because I realized I was coming up with points for like a fucking 1,000-word essay, and no, wrong episode.
So I get.
We need to actually get to the thing. Yeah,
he gives her the fucking ring, says cheap piece of shit, and kisses her.
Yeah, and for the record, White Base gets hit by a missile, which bumps her into him. Because literally an act of God is the only thing that makes this romance make sense. Oh my God, even they knew.
And for those keeping track, Chris's hope meter just crashed through the goddamn floor.
Yeah, it's at -8.
I like, at this point, I literally just yelled at my screen. Like, what? And I don't do that. I don't.
Yeah, we've
if
spent
I'm the only person in the
15
room,
just, minutes like, screaming.
I am the Walking Dead right now because I fucking died. I screamed so long I suffocated. And I died and I came back just a pure rage zombie.
What
the goddamn.
What also bugs me is, like, it's such obvious telegraphing of raising the death flag, like...
Yeah, they're like, hey, by the way, Slager's fucking dead. Is that
yes.
This is us trying to say, hey, like this guy for one moment before we murder them.
Anyway, Slag Ollie's out. Literally anyone with a sense of timing knows he's gonna fucking die. Yeah. He launches, we cut to... the fucking moon. Not kidding.
Which is a much better place to be right now, honestly.
Yeah.
Caecilia is summoning a bunch of forces.
Yes, Caecilia.
I don't think
she lives on Granada. First of all, I really want to add that Granada is the name of her personal fucking moon base.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Moon base Granada.
Fuck yeah. Just, you excessive...
Yeah,
you.
I love her.
I feel the zombie genes.
She would never kiss Slayer Law. And
no.
If she did, it'd just be so she could stab him.
Yeah, probably. Though I feel like she'd stop just short, because she's above that.
Yeah. Also, hey, guess who we see again?
Makuve! Yeah, we were just talking about it.
Him.
Buddy, I did too, and be excited for next episode. Holy shit.
I forgot how, like, just kind of whatever and dismissive he is.
Yeah, he's even more so in this episode, and also quieter, I noticed.
Yeah, he's very quieter. He seems very, His affectation is thicker.
Yeah.
Than it was. I think maybe the voice actor, they either changed the voice actor in the English dub, or he just forgot what voice he did.
I mean, in the Japanese, it's still there. Like, he changes pretty considerably and seems just like to put off a way more cool, noble kind of
shit. Yeah, he's very aloof.
Yeah, very aloof, very cold, too, because, well, we'll get to that in a second, but, Caecilia...
just for when we get there, he has to be reminded to be human.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, by the way, humans don't like it when you do stuff like this. Yeah. He's like, oh, okay.
Makuuvee, sir, your weird lizard eyes that blink the wrong way are coming out. Put those back.
I love Makuuvee. I didn't realize until he came back that I think I like Makuuvee a lot.
It's because it's a lot like the same reason I like Kai. He's a terrible person, but he's got his code and he sticks to it.
Yeah, and his code is I will fucking kill everyone.
Yeah, and I will win. Me, and I will literally nuke people to do it. Peace.
Fuck your treaties.
Fuck your treaties.
I'm Makuuvee. Dust off shoulder.
Screw your rules, I have blue hair.
Anyways, Makuuvee is going with the reinforcements to Solomon.
Yeah, we spent 3 minutes on doing bits about that.
Yeah, because this is like a 2 second.
Yeah, it's literally a 2 second scene where the narrator is like, "Welcome to the moon. Here's Granada. That's where Caecilia is and where her home base is. Here they are. Caecilia is ordering a big fleet to go to Solomon. Bye."
Bye. So we cut back to the fighty fights.
Funky fight. Funky fight jam. Funky fight jam.
This is a huge fight. There's a lot of stuff going on here. This may be why Slager has melty face, is because he spent all their money on these fights.
I'm not gonna lie, I realized as I was doing the summary and watching this that I stopped breathing partway through this scene because I was too busy focusing on the scene because so much shit was happening all the time and the beat was really fast and I couldn't stop.
For those of you who maybe have forgotten, Fuzzy really fucking likes Gundam.
I really like Gundam. And this is a really cool part. Like, the music also is... It's not... The action isn't to the music, but it's very well cued with it, as it usually is in Gundam. But, like, it's so fast-paced and with, like, these constant shot changes, it really works. It's a really nice sequence. Speaking of that action, Amuro and Kai are jumping around fucking murdering dudes.
Yep.
As they land on Solomon. Slega and Sayla are in space doing the same. It's cool as shit. The gunmen and the balls are invading. Azaku gets its fucking face blown off. There's balls being exploded. Zakus are dying. Gunmen are dying. Everything. It's war! And war is hell.
There's a lot of mega lasers going on.
Huge lasers are being shot, and all of the Fetty dudes are really confused why that's happening, because that's huge. A couple of nameless pilots talk in their GM and two balls.
Each gunman come with two balls.
I was staring at this shot composition like,
You did that on accident.
Yeah. Anyway.
They talk about meeting the big
Zam, yeah. Like, holy shit, that's a huge fucking robot with a giant laser. And they're like, yeah.
And codpiece. There's a scene later where just...
You get real up in that grundle.
Just dick is framed in a fucking cave of agents.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah. It's, This is a very phallic episode now that I'm reviewing it.
Phallic show.
Yeah, I guess. Cool robots, though.
Cool robots. with huge dicks.
With huge guns, yeah.
Didn't say guns. Huge dicks. Huge dicks, was he?
Well, all right.
I'm not going to let you make this PG, motherfucker.
I know. Never get that YouTube money.
Did these two talk about?
Yeah, we really won't. Big thing.
No, we won't. Dozel disintegrates them.
Yeah, Dozel just murders all three of them.
I hope Dozel has a wide-range melty gun, is what he has.
Yeah, he really does. The jam is really funky. I noted that there, apparently. Big Zam steps forward, the music suddenly cuts, and we see that last GM that was like, hey, maybe we shouldn't rush him. And then the two balls rushed him and got melted. Yeah, he tried running away, but then also gets murked. And we also learned that Big Zam is completely immune to beam rifles.
Yep, they just bounce off.
Yep.
Like, whatever, motherfucker.
Yep. Ah,
Teflon. Yep. Minofsky Vlon.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so the control guy, you know, in the big chair upstairs, calls Dozel up and tells him that the fleet is ready to retreat. But
I think is this the part where they're like, Dozel, where are you? And Dozel's like, I'm in Big Zam. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
Why? You're leading the fleet. Why the fuck are you in a mobile suit?
Yep.
He's like, I'm a warrior, goddammit. I'm going to be out here warring. Before we get too far, I like that Big Zam, being a big robot, requires three pilots.
Yep. One for each leg, and then requires the big gun.
Yeah, he doesn't have arms.
It does not have arms, which is very funny.
It's basically an AT-ST.
Kind of. Except it's an AT-ST... assuming the Gundams are human size.
Right.
This thing's fucking huge.
It's so big. It's a big... one might even call it a Big Zam. He's like, hey, we should retreat. What?
Fucking... is Big... I think Zam might just stand for Zeon Armor Mobile. Like... Zeon Mobile Armor. Big Zam. Because AdZam, Big Zam, I think there's like two other Zams. This is just a theory, but...
yeah, no, it makes sense.
That's just a game theory. Anyway, half of those comedy is references, right?
Yeah.
If you call it out, that's called hanging a lantern on it. I learned that from Stargate.
Stargate. Me. You learn stuff.
I highly recommend Stargate. It's really good. Anyway,
above Solomon, there's a moon.
Yes. We get like a pan up shot to do this scene transition. Like from Big Zam, the camera just pans upward to the moon, where we then cut up to a huge fucking fleet above the moon. The one McCuve is in. Yeah. McCuve's fleet notices there is a little escape rocket. We get a few shots of the escape rocket, and if you're not me, you might recognize that that's the escape rocket from Solomon. I didn't.
Yeah, I got that, because I'm not a fuzzy.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have at least two legs, Fuzzy's not interested.
I still like the gun tank.
Okay, fair. Yeah, but you have no, I guess that's the exception, because you also have no love for my good baby boy, the gun parry.
Yeah, I mean, it's a monolith with badly placed rotors.
It's beautiful. so they, is this where we cut inside where he's like, and
where he
talks
has to be,
to him about it?
Yeah, yeah. So, McCuve notices it and immediately is like, let's ignore that and keep going.
We don't have time.
We don't have time. His second in command then, in the most polite words you could possibly phrase this.
Excuse me, sir.
Excuse me.
Mr. McCuve.
Did you forget everyone else has families, dumbass, and people like living? And
he said,
these people will coup?
He says, So, Makuve, we have a lot of soldiers in mobile suits and spaceships and stuff, and we ask them to do very dangerous things, and they do that because there's an assumption that the army of Zeon will have their back if they get in trouble and have to evacuate. And if we don't, and he like pleads and he's like, oh, right, humans don't like to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose we should go get them then. Very well.
Yeah.
Fucking love Makuve.
Makuve is reminded not everyone is an unfeeling lizard man. What a fucking lizard man! But fuck, he has a cool mobile suit next episode. God damn it.
I can't wait. So
it really says something that, like, I'm mentioning next episode almost as much as I'm mentioning this one at this stage.
Because this one's garbage and it sucks and I wish it didn't happen.
Especially the first half, yeah.
The first half is terrible. Well, actually, we're not even there. But, okay, so he's like, fine, okay, we'll go get it. It has Dozel's people on it. They're like, yay!
Yeah.
We cut there, and she's like in a weird like sleep pod blanket thing with her baby, and she looks out the window because she gets an alert. And the anime, I get why, but I love the animation here because they don't animate the ship, the fleet coming into view.
Mm-hmm.
They just like fade them in.
I interpreted that as like a zoom
haze of war or something.
Yeah, just fade zoom. because that makes sense. No, that doesn't make any fucking sense either. I don't know. It was weird.
It's very good. And she's like, oh, yes, there. Zeon ships were saved. Little does she know, he was gonna fucking just leave her.
Yeah.
But something they don't actually get into here is maybe if they didn't go get them, they would have made it in time to save Dozel.
I mean, Makuve also could have just said,
"Send one ship.
One ship, grab them. Everyone else keep going."
No, he sends the whole fleet to go get that one.
Whole fleet's got
to
stop.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Frick. Okay, so.
We
cut back to the fight.
Oh, hey.
Big damn.
So, he keeps killing dudes into piles of goo, literally.
Yeah.
Dozel's just being menacing and evil. Down. Yeah, literally melts dudes down. Dozel decides maybe now is the time to charge Big Zam, and so Dozel orders everyone to fucking charge full speed ahead and out of Solomon. Yep. I'm pretty sure Dozel is consigning him and his men to death here, because they're charging a bunch of mobile suits against a fleet. But at the same time, Big Zam. Yeah, Big Zam.
Big Zam.
Yeah.
So, Zeon has space battleships.
They also have space battleships. This is like the first time I think we actually see their actual space battleshipy looking space battleships.
Yeah.
But these ones are that, but they're red, which makes them better.
Big old red monstrosities.
Which also makes them three times faster.
Three times faster.
Because that's the joke. So.
Yeah. You all get it.
Yeah, you all get it. We literally get a panning shot of them before commercial.
Yeah! I like your note here that you typed all of that in one go without having to pause the show.
Yeah, that's when I realized I needed to breathe.
So we don't have any iTunes reviews or emails yet. Again, that's iTunes.com
/no.
Oh, God, no. But you can the emails at the end. But we did get a cha from Twitter. Gangalo Saxon asks, if you and I were pilots, what would our mobile suit of choice be, and what colors and or custom modifications would we have? I think we should limit that to Mobile Suit Gundam, because that's all I know.
Okay, if we stick with just Gundam.
Also, you will literally sit here and debate with yourself for 10 hours if you make the all of Gundam.
Well, I do actually just know my favorite... No, I'm not worthy of being in Sazabi. I take that back immediately. I actually do have a custom in mind that I'm in the process of... well, I can't say I'm in the process. I've bought many of the parts, but I've opened none of the boxes. But I do have a custom Gundam in mind. Unfortunately, it is not from Mobile Suit Gundam. But it is from Wing. You remember the Leos?
Yes!
It's a custom Leo with a couple other parts that would make it look like a Jinro soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, those guys from Killzone? Yeah, Killzone.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that. That'd whole be
pretty
vibe.
Cool.
Yeah.
What color is your skin tight butt jumpsuit?
Oh man, if I want to go with that mobile suit, it'd be red and black. But if it's me, it's usually yellow and red. Unironically, so, most of my mobile suits are yellow and red.
So I think my mobile suit would definitely be a Zaku 2, but. My custom modification for it would be it's painted goof blue, and that way
this
I can
is
do,
a Zaku it, boy. It is a Zaku boy. Hell yeah!
Just every time.
Hell yeah! It's a Zaku boy. Wow!
This is such a fucking Zaku. You don't even know.
You don't know how boy. Zaku this is, boy. Wow.
But thank you, Ganglo-Saxon. Again, if y'all want questions read during this bit, just tweet us with the hashtag Chia. And Chia!
So we come, yeah. We come back to the solar system. I'm going to say it stupid so we know it's the laser.
You know which one it is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Fuzzy. You're doing us all a favor.
And the fleet surrounding it, they've noticed Caecilia's fleet's headed this way and debate using the solar system again, but apparently, and start aiming it, and those little RCS thrusters that re-aim the mirrors make cute little ping noises every time, that go like,
yeah,
every time.
It's so you know they're small engines.
I mean, first of all, space, but second of all,
they,
do you know what
look,
an RCS
they're all equipped with,
engine
they're all
is?
Equipped with, they're all equipped with speakers that transmit their sound so you can hear
it would sound like a fire extinguisher.
They look like those things from Kerbal you use to do small adjustments when you're trying to dock with things.
Yeah, those are RCS thrusters. They're just compressed CO2. It's a fire extinguisher. It's just a fire extinguisher.
Yeah. And it makes a cute sound, Fuzzy. I don't know what your problem is.
I'm just wondering who decided the fire extinguisher needed to cover up the loud noise with...
It's probably Tim Ray.
It was probably Tim Ray.
He's not been okay.
He hasn't been bad in a thousand.
I was stuck out in space for a while with no oxygen. You know what I found? Not enough cute sounds in space.
I mean, if you think about it a little bit deeper, you have to consider the Fetties found Tem again, knew full well what his condition became, and dumped him in a garbage place.
Yeah,
for him
in
to
a
experiment.
Non-Federation zone.
Yeah, yeah. They shoved him where anymore. They could and left him there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn.
But back in the solar system.
Yeah, so they aim the system at the fleet that is coming over. Bright orders shooting everything in front of them.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy.
He's a little manager. What do you want? Keep doing the thing you're doing, everybody.
Thanks, you micromanaging son of a bitch. Go back to reading your fucking magazine and flirting with the pilot. Flirt with this pilot!
excuse me, forward batteries, what are you doing currently? We're firing forward because of the forward batteries. Right, I want you to...
Fire forward.
Carry on.
Cool.
I'm such a good commander. I don't know why my bright voice is...
is British, yeah. He is the very model of a modern major lieutenant colonel. So, Slag is zooming around, turns out to take some fleet engine, some Zeon fleet engines. Down in Solomon, Amuro discovers all of the murked dudes. This is the field of bodies we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, they're just melted metal to the floor.
Still glowing, too.
Yeah, which, they're bright orange.
That would
be fucking horrifying. Like,
yeah.
And then is this where we get, he walks up and like, he's like, what's going on? What's happening? And then he sees it. The dick.
Yeah.
The dick of death. Shooting its fiery laser beams down.
Yeah, he looks around.
Masses.
Yeah, he looks around and finally looks up and Big Zam is flying away. This is where it took off from, out of the hole in the ceiling. And right up in Big Zam's grundle between the legs is a huge thruster that is lifting Big Zam up and out of there. And yeah.
It looks like a codpiece.
Yeah, it's Big Zam's big flaming dick. It's Dozel Zabi's mighty flaming dog.
I can't wait to see Cassilius. We know Garmus was a flying eggplant shape.
Because it was the emoji. Oh fuck. Oh my god.
Dozel is on fire. Degwin is everything.
Yeah.
Kytilia has to have an impressive dick, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. I also like how you forget about Girin, because he doesn't show up.
He's the least interesting of the Dozel.
He is! But I regularly forget
he exists.
Yeah!
Like, while I was talking about Kytilia's dick, I was like, oh, he probably exists too, but I imagine his dick is not very impressive.
Yeah.
It's probably forgettable.
Yeah. Actually, wait.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh no, I know what his dick is. I know what does that one? We'll get there.
Anyway.
We'll get there. We will see everyone's dicks by the end of this.
Fandom.
Mobile suit dictum.
Yeah, that's much better. Where the fuck were we?
Dozel Zabi's mighty flaming dong.
Right.
And
Kai lands on something?
Yeah, Kai accidentally lands on top of Big Zam and immediately is like, what the fuck? And jumps off.
Shit, the ground is moving.
Yeah.
Oh, Kai, I love you, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, God, I love him so fucking much. So he fucks off and Big Zam gets surrounded by like 50 dudes.
React?
No, Big Zam doesn't give a shit. Gun Cannon can literally bounce off a Big Zam, and Dozel will be like, is that a fucking space bug? Is that a fucking space mosquito?
Oh, Jesus.
Realistically, if a Gun Cannon bounced off of actual Dozel Zabi, he would probably think it was a mosquito.
He is a
He's
tank.
80 stories tall.
He is a literal tank.
Yeah.
With tank controls.
Yeah.
So...
He's the best pilot for Big Zam, really.
Yeah. They tell Bright that the solar system is going to fire again.
Yeah, and then it does almost immediately. I don't know why
like,
we needed the note.
Oh, God, there it is!
Yeah. I really don't know why we needed
the note.
They have
a moment to be like, oh, shit, they're going to fire it again? And then they fire it. It's like, okay, well, I guess.
Yep.
That wasn't that big of a deal.
So, bunch of shit gets blown to bits. Dozel orders everyone charge to the Fetty command ship. Sayla gets hit and heads back to White Base to dock. Bright orders a chase after Big Zam because they literally fly right by him. Mirai gets back just in time to do that. Also, this pilot never shows up again. So say bye to Valmus.
Bye, Valmus.
That was it.
You're a good placeholder for the worst scene in this entire fucking episode series.
Yeah, he really goes down with that scene, I guess, and just never...
You'll always be remembered for fucking Slegger
allowing that to happen.
You shitty ass garbage enabler, Vamus. Yeah.
Vamus
number
is canceled.
One hate Slegger, number two hate Vamus. Vamus is canceled.
Well, good thing Vamus is canceled because he walks out of frame, and that's it.
Yeah.
Nirai takes the wheel, pushing Jesus out of the way, and...
Fuck up, Jesus!
Get out of here, you don't know how to pilot shit!
And they didn't have cars in your...
Yeah, he fucking drifts Whitebase around in a 180. Yep. Big Zam manages to get to the command ship and disintegrates it post-haste, because Big Zam.
Yep.
Big Zam, probably the most legitimate threat we have seen in this show so far.
It's like the Jason Voorhees of mobile suits.
It kind of is, actually.
It's always right around the corner. You can't hurt it.
It will destroy you and everything you love.
And it hates horny teenagers.
And it hates horny teenagers so very much.
And horny, like, 40-year-old blonde men.
I guess. I don't know. I think Slicker's like 26.
He's like 78. He's got melty face.
He sometimes looks like half his face is melted off, and other times looks like a roughish 38.
Well, you know, I think Bright is 30, and he looks older than Bright, so obviously he's in his 40s.
That's true. There's nothing between 30 and 40. That's how numbers go.
Oh, Jesus,
go.
No. I'm 30, and like, next staying month I'm going to be 40. It's terrible. Okay.
So,
pour one out for me, homies.
Pour one out as he disintegrates into dust. Benjamin Button. No, Benjamin Button doesn't do that, motherfucker. What happens to him at the end of that movie?
He becomes a baby? And goes back in his mommy?
I don't like that.
Anyway. You know who doesn't turn back into a baby? Big Zam.
So, Mirai takes the wheel. Does the thing. Sleg and Kai follow Amuro into battle against Big Zam. Because he decided, man, we shouldn't let Big Zam keep blowing up ships. Yep. Amuro's making a good call, I'd say.
Yeah, Dozel tells his two nerds to evacuate Big Zam.
Yes.
And to give him control of the Big Zam.
Yep.
And to evacuate Solomon.
Yep.
And they're like, what? So this is a thing I always hate.
Yeah.
Is when commanders are like, I'm going to go down with this ship. That's mm-hmm. so fucking stupid. You're the commanding officer.
Yeah.
Let someone else do it.
You're also, like, a huge morale thing for your men, my man. You're Dozel Zabi. You are a prince. Act like it, you dumbass.
Yeah, it's one of my least favorite things in... I think it's another thing of being like, oh, you should like this guy because we're about to kill him.
That's a fair take. I've seen it pulled off a few times where I know I've liked it.
Here's the thing. They do succeed in making me like Dozel before he dies. The start of it was him like going and meeting his Southern Belle wife.
Yes.
In the Southern Belle mines.
Yes. And yeah, because there's like eight more of them in there.
but his final scene is fucking great.
Hell yeah, so, it is. Hell yeah, it is. Hell yeah, it is. So, Big Zam, or Dozel, takes control. Yeah, his men argue, but what are you going to do? And
he's
going to tell
the size
no?
of 17 men.
Yeah.
He's like four Gastons, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, no one benches Big Zam's like Gaston.
No one Zam's like Gaston.
Like Dozel Zabi, I mean.
Yeah, well, we got it. He also says, so people are firing on it. Oh, no, I'm skipping forward.
You're...
Zaku's are retreating.
Yeah, so all people fuck off. All the other Zeke's fuck off. As Amuro and crew go by, for some reason, we get a shot of Slegger grimacing at seeing Zeon guys fly away. Because it's literally two Zaku's with ropes attached, and like 15 yeah. dudes just grabbing onto those ropes. This yeah. is also the point I would like to point out that those guys are in the vacuum of space in skin-tight suits just fine.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out
real
quick.
They're Zeon, though. They care about fashion.
I guess.
Yep.
Like, I understand the ones that they're wearing on the bridge, because if their thing explodes, they get sucked out, because they're also, not going to decompress the cockpit, right?
Also, they have no fucking seatbelts. Like, they're just going to bounce around inside of shit.
Yeah, so I think those are, like, legitimate reinforced armor.
Yeah.
So, like, those make sense. I get that. And even, like, yes. on the Xeon bridges, they were wearing some bigger suits.
I guess.
My point is, I just really want to hammer that point home real quick, because that's gonna come up in a complaint I have in a second. So, Slegg, who I would real quick like to mention is wearing a skin-tight suit, I'm just throwing that in for no particular reason.
No reason.
Dozel takes control of the ship and starts charging. Full-on death charge. So they fire on him, and it's not just Amuro, it's the whole fleet. Fire on Dozel, and they just bounce fucking off of him. Yeah. Because they're all beams, and Dozel has apparently a magnetic field around Big Zam, and some bullshit pseudoscience explanation, magnets affects plasma beams?
I guess, man. Big Zam!
Big Zam! We then also get the Big Zam line, in my opinion at least, where Dozel throws his head back and screams, "Don't underestimate the power of Big Zam." that's at least what I always associate. He also follows it up with two more, you cannot defeat me, you cannot defeat me's.
Yeah, he's getting a bit frayed ends here.
A little bit. But he's very determined to murder, and murder he does. He takes out, like, five ships. Because he can just do that with a button.
Yeah, he has a big old disintegrator beam.
I honestly do not understand why they did not deploy 800 more of these.
I think this is the only one they have. Because he mentions later, like, when they become mass-produced, we're going to destroy everyone you know and love.
I guess they just didn't have the resources to finish these out, huh?
Yeah. If only they had 10 years worth of supplies stored somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they are going through those pretty fast, considering dudes are getting murked wholesale every time one 16-year-old in a white mobile suit shows up. And every... You launch a battalion against Amuro, and you get back one Rick Dom covered in piss.
Yeah, he's never the same.
Yeah.
He can't even give you intel, he's just blubbering.
Yeah, because Amuro's fucking terrifying.
There's some... Okay, so I want to keep going, because we are so close to some shit happening.
Yeah.
Like, lots of... a few things.
Really dense few seconds coming up.
Yeah, this next paragraph here is everything.
Yeah, it really is.
So Dozel is destroying entire ships
by himself. It's super just
being
spooky.
A monstrosity.
Yeah,
Amuro is terrified by it. It's horrific.
Yeah, Slegger pulls a loop around in front of Amuro and does a weird signal thing.
So
which looked vaguely like he was proposing touching their tips.
They definitely so
he was talking about docking, but.
Yeah, no, he literally looks like, "Hey man, let's touch penises after this. Do you want to touch penises with me after the battle? we can go to my room or your room. I just want to touch penises."
He is literally asking to dock with Amuro.
Yeah. So they have radios.
Yeah, I guess he just didn't want to say that over the radio.
I guess he's embarrassed.
I guess. So
Amuro is half of his age and a minor. Amuro fucking it gets all of. Okay, well, you know what? I'll let this pass. Amuro's psychic. Amuro understands exactly what he wants.
Yeah,
like multiple steps. Oh, you want to dock together and then charge the Big Zam? Okay, let's do that then.
He doesn't get that part from that. He does understand the docking, though, perfectly. Which
he definitely, in the English dub, says, "And then we charge in together."
He does not in the Japanese. Because later they do, so then they dock, and Amuro goes, "So what's your plan, big boy?" And Slegger replies, "All of those things Chris just said. Charge Big Zam, get up in that bitch as the G armor."
Yeah.
and he does
have the. Amuro's like, that's suicide, and Slager's like, yeah. don't be a baby. We've got to do this.
Yeah. In the Japanese, I got the immediate sense that this was Slegger's sacrifice immediately, and that Amuro was 100% confident he would live through this. Like, that is absolutely the read I got on that scene. Like, he was scared for Slegger, not for himself, because he knows he'll live.
And looks back to Slager and is like, "All right, like,
if you want to die, brain,
if you want to die, I can do this. That's your call, man." Yeah, no, we're gonna die together. Yeah, sure, Slager.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm
definitely. I promise you, I'm gonna die with you. I promise.
Pinky promise. The Gundam is crossing its fingers.
Oh, look, we're there.
Yeah. So they do that. The G-Armor, well, Slag does have some cool flying in here. Apparently, yeah. The Big Zam has rocket toes?
Yeah! He calls it anti-aircraft.
Rocket toes.
It's rocket toes. Big Zam is a
weird suit.
Rocket toes.
So... the G-Armor immediately gets caught. Apparently the rocket toes come back, or maybe they were attached via strings? I don't know, man.
But he gets grabbed in other non-rockety toes.
Yes. The front of the G-Armor gets totally grabbed up in this, and yeah. Summarily ripped apart, launching Slegger Law into space violently.
Yeah.
At this point, Amuro screams and acts like Slegger is already dead, but I would like to remind everyone he is in a skin-tight suit that I have seen Amuro spacewalk with.
Yeah.
So, what's the fucking problem, big boy? You could, Amuro could at this stage just gently push him away. And I would think they have trackers in those things, and they could find him in a bit.
Well, he did explode, also.
Well, that explosion happens later, though. I'm talking right now, Amuro reacts as if Slag is dead.
Maybe he did. There had to be some trauma there. Slager is, 67 years old. His heart's not that strong.
So, Amuro screams and gets a new type flash across his eyes. And I mention this because this special effect is used forever the fuck more to represent new type bullshit happening.
Just a real quick question. Are there new types in Wing? Because I do not remember new types, though.
No. Okay. New types are exclusive to the Universal Century timeline, which...
Oh, is Wing not Universal Century?
Nope.
Okay.
It is, I forget. It has a different age name, but it's its own thing, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, no, I'll tell you if we get to new universes. When we get there, but yeah.
Amuro sticks his rifle into Big Zam's footsie?
Well, first he shoots up and figures out, okay, his beam rifle, they're in the magnetic field, they can shoot. So then he shoots it in the grundle and then shoves it up inside the foot thruster and starts just blasting.
And I think he just leaves the gun in there, too.
Yep. he then manages to kick out from Big Zam's feet area and get on top of Big Zam while he whips out the sword in actually the exact same animation from the commercial break. Like, it's the same yoink. Yeah. I just happened to notice that and was like, ooh! So, Amuro, fucking stabs Big Zam and then slices into the cockpit. And
which pisses off Dozel.
Does not kill Dozel as it would have every other man, woman, and child ever to get in a mobile suit, because Dozel fucking Zabi and his flaming justice dong will
gets
not...
angry.
Yeah. Just the flames
erupt. He's like, how fucking dare you stab me with a sword?
Yeah. If this happened on the personal scale, that is absolutely what his reaction would have been. How dare you stab me, sir?
So he climbs out of Big Zam. Because Big Zam
with a gun.
With a large gun. A large laser Tommy gun.
And just starts shooting at Amuro. And yelling at him.
And we cut to Amuro, who is like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And then we cut back to...
Amuro has killed 17,000 people and not blinked once. And he's just like, I've never seen this before.
Well, to be fair, there have only been two guys who have screamed at him and rushed to their deaths at his hand. And the first one was Dozel's younger brother.
Yeah,
Just like his
are a little crazy.
Yeah, they are. But just like his brother before him, Dozel leads the speech off with "For the glory of Zeon," and then two more. You will never.
Daylight is mine to command.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyways, that's it. You should all go watch the Trollhunter. He says you'll never defeat me again.
Yep, two more times. And Amuro cuts back to. We cut back to Amuro, and he's just like, man, this is really fucked up, and I'm doing nothing about it.
And then Satan appears.
Yeah, so... Oh, this is what... Okay, now that makes sense. he just said, oh, hi, Satan, in the PM to me, and I was like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Because Satan appears behind Dozel.
Yeah, so... Amuro apparently gets an aura read on Dozel's Zabi at this stage, and Dozel's whole shtiz rises up like an infernal fucking demon. And gives it a big scream.
Yeah.
Amuro is even more terrified, of course, before...
he just saw Satan.
Yeah, he just saw the devil, and it lives in Dozel's Zabi. And then a big fucking beam hits Dozel square in his fucking face. He dies and is disintegrated along with a lot of Big Zam, and the Gundam hops off. Because, oh shit. At this stage, Big Zam super explodes, so if Slag had Amuro gently pushed the fucker away, he might have lived, but no, he's definitely a fine red space mist now.
Super duper dead.
I doubt even missed. I feel like he was probably instantly disintegrated into base
atoms. He is now just a paste on the side of whatever debris that drifts through him.
In his defense, when he gave Mirai that ring, he did say it would be a shame for this to get lost in space. So, yeah. Good call on that earlier, actually.
Maybe he is a new type.
Maybe he was a new type, and he called it ahead of time. So there goes Sleggy. We fucking cut immediately to Mkuve's ship, where he and Dozel's wife, Zena, learn Solomon has fallen, which Zena can put two and two together.
Yeah.
Mkuve orders most of the fleet to pull a 180, but is going to proceed anyway to do a little bit of scavenging and picking up survivors.
In the English, he said collect data or scout or something.
Yeah, he says
Also, what was the other thing? Oh, he also says it's a pity Dozel couldn't hold out for just a little while longer.
Yeah, he does.
God damn it, Mkuve!
Mkuve, put your big scaly tail and weird right tongue away. Yeah.
I just, could you imagine his second in command is always just following behind him, being like,
you can't say that.
He doesn't, he's not, just ignore him, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
He's not like us.
He doesn't mean it. I'm sorry he stabbed you, it was an accident. Yeah, probably. I know he said die when he did it. It's just a tick. It's a vocal tick he has. It's fine.
So, we now...
Please stop stabbing people and yell and die.
We now arrive at one of the weirdest things I've ever seen? Just actually This was, like, I was watching this next sequence and legitimately paused the episode to check if it was the season finale, where I discovered it wasn't, because this is so weirdly final.
Yeah, and it's also such a down fucking note.
Yeah.
Like, we got less of, I guess it was, everybody's less exhausted when Ryu died, but we didn't get this reaction when Ryu fucking died. I guess they're not reacting to Slayer dying, I guess Mariah is, but... So, it's a weird, like, slow jazz version of Amuro. It's sad. A melancholy Amuro song.
I don't think that's... Is that Amuro?
I think so. I don't know.
Are those the lyrics to the ends, the theme? Holy shit.
I don't know,
Am I just a dumb idiot the whole time?
I don't know, man. I may be wrong. But it's a song that sounds familiar. A shot pans through, we see, like, Frabo is, like, being sad and explaining stuff, Mirai or whatever, Bright is sad,
It is not the same song.
It's not the same song, I'm an idiot. Mirai leaves.
For the record, it is a weird song about, that the read I got based on the lyrics, because I got subtitles for him, was... It's about feeling separate and lonely due to either trauma or maybe being psychic, because the singer is singing to Amuro, specifically mentioning his name. But
that's probably why I get confused. I'm like, oh, I know that name.
Yeah, but I can't tell who the singer is. I'm not sure if it's meant to be Mirai or what, because
Frabo,
the song...
narrator Sans girlfriend.
Because another major part of that whole song is talking... Did you have subtitles for it?
No, I didn't. I had now, because I had no idea what she was saying.
Right, so another thing that is in the song is the singer asks to be told that this was all a dream, and that they're just now waking up, and that'll be okay, and that kind of stuff, along with these, like, lonely themes, too. It's a real fucking downer of a song.
Yeah, it's a real downer of a fucking montage.
Yeah.
So, we see Hayato, I can't remember if Hayato, was Hayato awake and just staring at the ceiling?
Yeah, he was just injured and staring at the ceiling.
Hayato's not doing good.
No.
Our boy is needs some help.
No.
The
kids are climbing out of those big spacesuits they were locked in.
This is a very Not in Nottingham-esque song.
Yeah. And these last few are a little bit chiller and less sad, because it's our actual combatants. They're all about to pass out or passed out. Frog gives Amuro water. Kai is literally floating asleep, drifting in front of Sayla, who has passed out in a chair.
Yeah.
And we get a slow pan out to all of Solomon, the wreckage of fleets around it, and White Base in the corner, drifting off into the sun.
Okay, so before you get into your big fuzzy voice.
Yeah, yeah.
They go to Texas next episode. Fuck.
So, first of all, it's wild to me that we go back down, right? To Earth. But before we leave this episode, man, this was a fucking weird episode. What the fuck?
It would have been a great episode if they just left out all the Mirai and Slinger bullshit. I would have been happier if they'd had a rando that we hadn't met before profess their love to Slayer.
Almost, yeah. Or even... No, there's no one that was well... I spoiled myself by accident on this earlier. When I checked Slayer's wiki page again, because I completely forgot he existed somehow. It's really weird. I swear I have seen these shows, but then it's like... What? Who? Who? But...
I don't like...
So I've known about this, and was wondering how the fuck they were gonna get there, and they didn't, really.
No. No, they didn't earn it at all.
No. On top of that, like... I don't know. There was something about this episode in particular that felt really weirdly ham-fisted compared to last episode, which didn't really at all. And so I'm really confused what happened. What's also weird is all of the action was really well done and well timed.
Yeah, fucking Dozelzabi climbed out of his out of Big Zam to try to murder Gundam with a gun.
If the gun had only been blown out of his hands, he would have tried to punch Amuro to death.
He would have tried to strangle Gundam to death.
Yeah.
With his giant meat hands.
Dozelzabi would have grown to be 50 feet tall and hands like Andre the Giant, but actually giant. Just big meaty mitts that crush the Gundam's tiny head.
I'm just upset that the return of Makuve was tainted.
With this weirdness that really doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, I in literally 2 seconds, I thought of a better, you could start a Hayato and Fra thing here where they talk more and build that relationship in quiet moments between battle instead of this weird one.
Again, this was definitely like a ham-fisted way to try to make us like Slayer.
Yeah.
But they could have done that if not by adding things to this episode, but by subtracting one very specific thing from a previous episode.
Yeah, that one too. On top of that, like, of all of the characters, I don't understand why Mirai would be the one. First of all, out of her two types we've seen, both have been middle managers, so having this is a little weird on top of that.
I'll say there's something interesting to be said about, like, because problematic relationships are real. It's a real thing.
Yes, absolutely.
The thing I run into a lot with this, because I'm a man, is, from the male perspective, is it a problem we have is we don't think about what the woman likes a lot. Like, I have a friend who ships, Rey and Kylo, right?
Right.
And I very much do not.
Right.
No, thank you. That's very bad.
Yeah.
But one of her things is no one ever thinks about what Rey likes, and what if Rey wants Kylo? And I'm like, that's fine, I guess?
Yeah.
I guess if she forgives him, like, whatever, it's still not going to be cool with it. But in this case, there's no evidence that Mirai wants that.
There's no other moments. And, like, I was just reading a post about, or it was just a rant, honestly, about stuff like this, of in shows having weird ham-fisted relationships like this that make no sense, because I have seen shippers do a better job of pulling weird little bits of tiny interactions from places to make a OTP work out. There is nothing in this show to support this one, and it's a canon one! Also, Bright, like, just then was like, yo, but, hey. Weird timing, though, Bright. That, I will say, that's a weird call to make, because he also was clearly aware, seemingly, what was going on. That's also now the other thing that just now processed for me, I guess. The fact that Slegger and Bright seemed to immediately be like, oh yes, that's what's happening now. What? How did you arrive at that conclusion? Fast?
Oh wow, that didn't even fucking occur. I thought he was just like, knew something was wrong with her. But now, like, when he's, the him saying, I'll be here waiting for you, was him being like, I understand you have a crush on another man. I'll be here when he dies.
Yeah, that's the read I had, at least.
That just occurred to me, and I hate it.
Yeah, it's way worse. Fuck. It's and honestly, like, Think about this. What if Kai had died during that little arc he had, right? If Kai died during that, we would have been sad Kai died, but okay with that. Because Kai had, like, clear everything. Everything made sense. There was nothing weird being left out or just kind of skipped over. Even his relationship with the Irish girl, what's her name? I don't remember, and I'm not going to, but you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, my second dead redheaded wife.
Yes, even her, which also is never shown to be a romantic attachment on screen. It is just, he clearly cares about her. That was well done. What? Why did this happen this way? Why did?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know, Fuzzy. I am.
We got really mad about this.
Yeah, it's.
You also got really mad about this. Yeah. You were very passionately mad about this. Like,
I hate it.
I'm not gonna lie, I think that's the first time I've heard you actually mad.
I was very mad when he hit Mirai.
This felt raw. There was raw emotion.
Yeah, because this is like, fine,
I understand.
This is like, y'all fucked up.
Yeah.
This was proof they didn't know what they were doing. Ah. Anyways. Next time.
Yeah. quick. Let's get on to a much fucking happier fucking section. Hell yeah, my boy. I literally every version of this suit I have ever seen, I love. And it just every time, I love him. He's a fucking good knight boy. Fuck yeah. Next time. Big red boy, Sayla naked in towel, fencing mobile suit. It's called the Gyan, and Fuzzy fucking loves it so goddamn much. Lala has visions. They're psychedelic, and ooh, baby, it's one of my personal favorite episodes of Mobile Suit Gundam, and one that I don't remember shit about the plot of, but fuck was 7-year-old Fuzzy hype as hell. A duel in Texas. Will you be able to survive?
Amuro! Fuck this show.
I love Gundam.
Fuck this episode.
There we go.
Bye.
Bye. Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 36 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage or that you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod and our personal Twitters from there. Or you can email us at MobileSuitFandom@gmail.com. Also, if you're new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a shot, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows legally for free and a couple movies. Until next time, Mech fans, remember, we're halfway through the Zombie Kids. I wonder how Dekwon's doing, actually.